We visit a lot of hospitals. It's very sad. You really don't know what to do, but you're like, how's it going? And the guy goes, how's it going? I was shot. And I'm like, whoa, I get it.
Just something to say, bro.
You know, it's like, I'm not going to be able to patch Adam me out of this one.
Where you been and where you going? This is Ari's travel show, yeah. We're going to talk about travel today. It's you, me, trippin', yeah.
Welcome to the podcast. The name is You Be Trippin'.
You Be Trippin'.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's about trips.
I like it. And as we know, that's part of the job.
Yeah.
Travel.
It's the only podcast made with recycled plastic on every episode.
I hear you. Well, let's just jump right into it. I see you got the map up here.
Uh-huh.
And I'd say one of my You Be Trippins that I've tripped would be the Gulf of Aden. That's right. I was on a tanker when the Houthis sent a drone at us. God bless the United States Navy.
Dude, I met some SEALs.
And Navy randomly, SEALs.
Yeah, in San Diego. And they were, I was like, what's that Yemen thing all about? They're like, oh, it's this. I'm like, would you know? It goes, oh, we've been. And then they all shut up. They're like, hey, quiet.
Yeah, they can't tell you.
And I was like, what? They were drunk too. So it was like they were about to tell me some dark secrets.
Well, I'll say one thing. You know, I've traveled probably, I like to think I'm pretty well traveled, but I would say you take it to the next level. You've traveled way more than me. And we have a mutual friend who's a great comic, Tom Rhodes, who back in the day was the ultimate traveler. This guy was going to Vietnam. He lived in Amsterdam. He's been all through Europe. I mean, like, this guy loved to travel. He was really like the Marco Polo of comedy. And I felt like he was the original traveling comic. You know?
Tom Rhodes is my dream guest for this.
Really? Yeah. Tom would have, you'd need, honestly.
I mean, he's coming in for sure at some point. But like, I saw him once at Moon Tower, like Moon Tower 1 or 2 or something like that. And he met some old timer, some other old timer. And I didn't know his whole deal. And he's like, Tom, where are you living now? And he just goes, in these shoes, man.
Wow, that's cool.
It was the coolest answer.
That is cool. He is cool.
He's cool.
He is very cool. And, you know, I liked how, you know, I don't consider myself a good traveler. I mean, you know, I go to an exotic place.
Yeah.
Is everything all right?
Yeah,
okay, good. It's a lot of movement here. So I go to an exotic place and I'm like, okay, where do I get a coffee? Do they sell cigarettes here? You know, I'm like very like, I'm whatchamacallit, the ugly American, you know?
That's how Louis always said that Joe List was.
Oh, really?
He was a Paris. He goes, where can I get a chicken parm?
Yeah.
He just really needs that.
Because when you ask me, you go like, think of like some places that you, like, I would say the ultimates, like the two top were Brazil and Japan. And I did that for the Insomniac show. We would go over and shoot the late night stuff. And, you know, Brazil, of course, is a party. Like, we were there during Carnival. So that really overtakes the town. Everything else is shut. You know, like, you know, it's all about Carnival. Either the people are in it or they're there to see it. So it was that kind of thing. And it is beautiful there, you know. And since we did an hour show instead of a half hour, we also did day stuff, which I'm not sure. I think it kind of broke the magic of it. But still, like, it was cool to be, like, on a beautiful beach, you know, and like seeing all that kind of stuff happen. So.
Yeah, the cool thing about Insomniac was always like doing my spot, finish, and then let's get going until about the sun comes up.
Yeah, we would go all night.
Yeah.
And it would take us, you know, a few days to do it because it was segmented, but it was all night for a couple of nights. And, you know, when people like always would go like, did you really stay up all night? It's like, yeah, we did. And we drank for real. And Brazil is definitely a party town. So like if you and your friends wanted to go a place for a week, that's the place to go. They're at that point, we're really into tourism. I don't know how they are now. And the exchange rate was really good.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, it's whatchamacallit, like, you know, it's one of those places where like, they don't have as many rules as we do here, but that was years ago. So I'm sure like, you know, like Portland, you know, like you could probably do the same kind of party in Portland, but without
not like
the weather.
There.
Yeah, really, yeah. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's you know, it seems like anything went there. People
was it like crimey
high.
And shit?
What?
Was it crimey?
Yeah, there was like the areas where like they told us to stay away, but we kind of were on the fringes of that.
Yeah.
Up in the hills and stuff like that. And you would hear gunfire
at favelas.
Night. Yeah, the favelas. You would hear that kind of going on at night. So to me, I was like, whoa, that's kind of, you know, that's kind of cool in a way. But like, you know, there's like this other, this is a whole other experience. But they were really cool, and they were open to, like, you know, wasn't as, like, much red tape to shoot and all that kind of stuff. In terms of doing stand-up for the locals, I'm not sure how that would go, because we did stand-up before we went there, and then that was kind of like a trip. In Japan, I did stand-up in Japan, you know, so, or at least I think we did.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Well, let's, which one, well, let's.
Well, what do you want to talk about, Brazil?
Let's do Brazil.
Okay.
Yeah.
So have you been there for Carnival?
I went, not for Carnival, I went once with Rogan for like 2 days for on a UFC ticket. We didn't even do a show. Because, like, there's no show here, but they're getting me a free companion ticket if you want to go.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that was.
The beach were fucking
beautiful.
So cool.
The people are beautiful. I mean, like, everything was cool. Like, people are also laid back, you know? It's like our whole, like, you know, you got to get stuff done right away. They don't got any of that. You know, they're, like, on beach time. And the other thing that I loved is, like, you know, I'm not a real foodie or anything, but the food there was real good. It was real, like the steaks.
What'd you have?
Like, we had steaks. We had, I'm trying to think. I'm not a fish guy, but it looked beautiful. Everything there looked really, really good. So,
yeah.
And, you know.
We went to those churrascarias, those, like, nonstop bring you out food until you say, couldn't possibly.
They had that. They had that for sure. And we were there during the carnival, but it was raining the whole time. So for shooting, we were losing cameras, like, left and right. They were, like, fogging up and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, remember, this is, like, 15 plus years ago. That, like, I assume now that we would have done it all with drones or something. You know, it would have been a way different experience with the shoot. But, you know, the crew was, like, we were all drenched. And, like, Eurovision was there. And they're looking at us, laughing at us. So, you know, but I had a great time. At least I could say I've been there, you know. But going for work is so different than going, like, I guess, for vacation, you know.
Well, you're guarded. I mean, you're like, not even guarded, but, like, people have, like, hey, we're going to go to this restaurant. I made reservations for us.
Yeah, schedule. You're on a schedule.
Yeah, instead of, like, having to figure it out yourself.
And then Japan, which I think, you know, as a kid, I loved, like, you know, the whole idea of, like, you know, going to Japan and, like, you know, I was so interested in all that kind of stuff and, you know, a lot of history and all that kind of stuff. And then when I went there, I realized that, like, you know, a couple things. One is that, like, you know,
you're a giant.
Well, it wasn't even that. It was just like the English, like, they're very polite and very nice, but none of them really spoke any English. So it was really difficult to communicate. And this is before Babbel or any of those kind of, like, just can speak into your phone and, like, go back at them. And the other thing was just, like, you know, if you go to Japan, you got to love fish. You just got to love it because you're going to be eating it, like, three times a day.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I'll nibble whatever, but it really was like one of those, like, whoa, what is this now? This thing's got a tentacle and this thing, you know,
that's
whatever.
Really, if you cut it the wrong way, you're like, you'll die. But if you cut it the right way, it's still pretty shitty.
But I really, you know, wherever you go, and I'm sure you know this now as a world traveler, that the expats follow. So, you know, you could do a show in Japan, and it's a lot of guys who are there either for finance or just to drop out, you know, like traveling around the world. And then their local girlfriends, you know, so they bring them to see this thing. The girls have no idea what they're seeing. They're like, what is this? You think this is fun? Because this is like a guy talking. So, like, now comedy's more universal. But back then, I think it was really kind of a culture shock just seeing, like, this is a big night. This is, like, fun, you know?
Like, he's not buying me dinner.
Yeah. No, I have no idea. Like, you know, living in a, like, what's the longest you've ever lived in another country?
Ecuador, 6 months.
Wow.
Pandemic.
And what,
but also really wasn't living. It was like staying there. No, Israel, I guess, when I was in seminary, when I was in yeshiva.
Okay. But Israel, like, how long did it take you before you kind of, like, stopped thinking about here? You know, like, hey, if I was in New York, I'd be doing this.
It takes me about 2 weeks.
Oh, that's cool.
2 weeks, and then I'm like, especially if I go from one country to another country, then my last country wasn't America. My last country was some other place.
Oh, I see.
So now I'm like, in relation to Myanmar, I'm in Thailand. You know?
Wow. See,
that's really great.
I'm thinking about New York the entire time. I'm like, oh, I got to get back. I got to go to the dentist. You know, like, I wonder if that appointment worked. Does my phone work here? You know,
when you travel, are you, like, worried all the time?
Well, I got, like, family, you know, my mom is old, so I can't really leave the country now because of that. Like,
but even then.
But back then, I'm just not a vacation guy. Like, I'm not like a, like, let's have a
you're
fun.
Really not.
Like, when I went to Hawaii, which was another instance, it's like I was sick, like, from just being on the road, like, you know, like, just like road sick. And then I was like, you know, drinking because I had to drink on the show and everything. And I was so, like, I think I had, like, a pneumonia, you know? So I was like, but I have to go in the ocean because I have to tell people I went in the water here. And I was like, man, this would be so great if I wasn't, like, just feeling like I'm going to die. Like, but well, if I went there, like, on a honeymoon or something like that, I'm sure it would have been a better experience.
I cannot imagine you going in the ocean. Where did you have like a trench coat bathing suit?
No, I roll Kinison. Up my pants and put, you know, put my toes in. No, I went in, but you know, I know people that love to travel and that they're always going to Mexico, how cool it is down there and everything like that. And like for me, I guess all the travel is blurred together because of the whole, like the flying and then if you have to go through customs and all that kind of stuff. To me, that's so much work that like, it would have to be like, I'm headed to like, you know, Legoland or something, you know, like something bigger than just the place.
Yeah.
But I love, you know, cultural, country, you know, history, all that kind of stuff. You've been throughout the Middle East, right?
One trip to Israel, Jordan, Egypt, and Turkey. Today's episode of You Be Trippin' is brought to you by Shopify. Guys, let me tell you how this podcast started. In 2017, I had a mental breakdown and I left to find myself. I went off the grid and I went to Southeast Asia. To where I could find out who I was. Comedy Central was coming down on me, telling me I had to work more. Everybody's coming after me. And I was like, no, it's time for me to be me. And I went on a spiritual quest. And while I was in a field, I came across a mountaintop where I saw a yogi at the top. And I said, I could ask him a question. And as I got up that mountain, it began raining. And all these newts, all these beautiful, brightly colored orange newts came coming to the surface. They wriggled around and birds would come down and peck at them and eat them. And I thought, there's something happening here. There's something happening here for money. Yeah, I thought, how can I turn this into e-commerce? And that's where Shopify stepped in. They said, Ari, we can't exactly overcome the FDA regulations. They're pretty clear. You can't just import live newts from Southeast Asia and sell them to America, but we can help you set up your online store. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And I was beating these birds. These birds were eating these newts. And I was beating them down. And I said, there's money in this. And I made a mental note. Call Shopify. Get on there. Get to Shopify and help them help you set up. They're at every stage. From your launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the do we just hit $1 million stage that I'm coming with those newts. Yeah, and eventually I did the wrong thing and I started selling dead newts because they were cheaper. They were cheaper than buying live newts. And I would blame the customer. I'd say, hey, listen, the newt was dead when you got it. It was alive when I sent it. How am I supposed to know? And then I wouldn't punch holes in the things. And they said, well, you didn't punch holes in the jar. The newt's not going to survive with no air. And I said, you didn't say to punch holes. That's on you. Anyway, none of this has to do anything with Shopify. What Shopify did was help me set up the online platform, and they did it quite well. And I've been sued quite a lot. I declared bankruptcy, but I made millions of dollars before that happened. It's all gone to the victims now. Not the newts. The newts actually are the victims, but they didn't get any money in this. Anyway, the point is, check out Southeast Asia. There are these beautiful orange newts. People ask me, Ari, did you ever get up to the yogi and ask him a question? I said, yeah, but I was so overcome then with making money that I just said, hey, what's the best online platform for selling on your website? And he said, Shopify. And guys, right now, Shopify has a little trial period for you to save. If you sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/trippin, that's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/trippin right now to grow your business. No matter what stage, $1 per month, that's wild. Go to shopify.com/trippin', and I'll see you where the newts grow. Today's episode of You'll Be Trippin' Podcast is brought to you by Mando. Guys, Mando is a full-body deodorant that helps you stay fresh, smelling fresh, all day long. Sir, can I ask you a question? Let's take it to the streets to find out what people think. Hey, in a clinical study, people who shower alone and then use Mando have a body odor of what after 12 hours?
Are we using the metric system or the...
Answer the question!
Sorry, 2?
No! Oh. 0!
Is 0 good?
Yes, you don't want to smell!
So you have no body odor?
Yeah, if you use Mando.
All right, well, I'm going to buy some Mando.
No, wait, I'm not done yet!
Sorry, I'm on the way to an important business meeting.
This is
okay.
And then people who shower alone and don't use Mando have a smell in their score of what after 12 hours?
1.
Bro.
Hey, look, man. I don't know about Mando, but I'd love to learn.
It's eight, dude. It's eight. It's a lot smellier.
Oh, so those people smell like crap.
Yeah, they smell like fucking shit.
Oh, but if you use Mando, you don't smell at all.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I know.
Whoa.
Yeah, now you get what I'm doing here.
So eight without it, zero with it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go home right now.
That's all I'm trying to say. God. Well, guys, Mando's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Mando starter pack with code TRIPPIN' at shopmando.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit shopmando.com and use code TRIPPIN'. Hi guys, just breaking in to let you know that I'm a stand-up comic and I have live stand-up comedy tour dates coming up. First and foremost, I'm taping my new special April 26th and 27th in Washington, D.C. at the Capitol Turnaround. You can get tickets at arishafir.com. April 27th, first show is sold out, second show is almost sold out, and we added a show April 26th, so hurry up and get tickets at arishafir.com. I'm also going to be, we added a show in Halifax. Let me just run through everything I got. Starting today, I guess. Grand Rapids, Michigan. Detroit, Michigan. Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Added a second show on April 6th. Halifax, added a second show. First show sold out April 11th. Ottawa, I think it might be sold out. Rutland, Vermont. So many tickets available. Huntington, New York at the Paramount April 14th. Austin, Texas, 420. Come on down for that. And Washington, D.C., the Capitol Turnaround. Also, I'm doing my storytelling shows in Los Angeles, May 9th and 10th at the Comedy Store. And I got a whole freaking Australia run starting May 17th in Melbourne and finishing June 1st in Sydney. Go to arishafir.com for tickets. And don't forget to watch Dave Attell, Hot Cross Buns, on Netflix right now. Went up to number 2 on all the fucking people are watching all over. It's hilarious. We watch it on the tour bus, and it's absolutely hilarious, and you guys love it. Hot Cross Buns with Dave Attell. Let him know how you feel. I'm Ari Shaffir. Let's get back to the episode. Go see my special in Washington.
Yeah, see, I did the USO stuff. So I did like Iraq, Afghanistan, Kuwait, Abu Dhabi.
Okay. That's what we'll talk about.
The Middle East?
USO stuff.
Okay, cool.
Middle East, because your experience there was more like bases.
Yeah.
But that's cool. So that's not a lot of, so when like Yoshi said he went to Kabul to hang out, but he went when America, the people working for the government, not in the government.
But he went to downtown Kabul.
Yeah.
Is that what he did?
And he said, cool. They said, bring booze. That's all you can bring us is bring two bottles of Jack and we have a bar for a week.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And he goes, it's gone now because they pulled back. So like, Kabul is now no longer that city.
That's a cool experience. Yeah. And Yoshi's another world traveler guy,
for sure.
Another comic that we both know, very funny guy. But when I was doing the USO, because they had the base there and it was a NATO mission. So there was like people from Australia and Italy, all these different armies from around the world. It was like The Hobbit. It was like all these different armies going on there. So the, they would have on the base, they would have like, you know, like a pizza place and a coffee place. And that was, for the troops. And then off base, which you only saw through convoy or from helicopter, there was like a scene. And
could you go into it?
This one guy came up to us on the base. I don't even know how he got on the base, but he was an American expat who was living in Afghanistan with his girlfriend. And I was like, what? You're living like on the other side of the wire? And he's like,
what?
It's not what you think. You know how that kind of thing of like, dangerous. Like he was like really East New York.
New York.
Yeah. Like, he's like, it's not that bad. Yeah. And he's like, we're starting our own improv company. That's like when I got nervous. I was like, don't do that to these people.
For real?
Yes. I go, don't do that to these people. Please
they
don't.
They have so much to live for. Why ruin their chances
I was
now?
Like, I was like, you know what? You hit the nail on the head. What will bring this together? Improv.
Yeah. Third world city.
But yeah, that was
what
definitely
were the troops
a trip.
Like as audiences?
You know, like, to be honest, I think a lot of it is like, I'm not famous enough and I totally get it. Yeah. And some of them were super fans. A lot of them were like guys who wanted to be comics, you know? So,
no, really?
But the hundreds that would be at the shows, they really want to see like a fighter or like a NASCAR guy or a rapper or something like that. They want to see somebody who's really famous and I don't blame them, but they were good enough to me. And like, I think anything that broke up the monotony of just being there. And remember, the majority of the people at the base are the support troops. The ones who run the stuff. They're the mechanics. They're the guys working the guard towers. The forward ops, the fobs, you know, like those are harder to get to. But we did one or two of those. But I would say that, like, you know, when I'm trying to think, like, there was a lot of legendary USO performers from Bob Hope through today's times where, like, they could do whatever they want. They had a blank check, like, hey, I want to go here and there or whatever. But it's really a tour where they bring on multiple acts or whatever. And then, you know, the guy who took us out, he also was doing his own business. So, like, for a day, he would disappear to Pakistan to, like, work a deal with them. And, like, then he'd join us at another gig.
Did they give you rules of what you can talk about?
There was some of that. But I think at the end of the day, you know, like, there were definitely jokes that were like, please don't do that. Or, like, you know, it's not appropriate. But, you know,
I for these fucking 19-year-old pieces of shit?
Well,
in a good way, pieces of shit, I mean.
Yeah. But no, I'm saying, like, it was not coming from the troops. It was coming from the, you know, they're afraid of, like, insulting people or customs. But I don't do that. And I'm not political. There was, like, I remember a couple of comics would go over there and go, like, try and talk politics with them. I'm like, dude, you can't do that. You know, they're on a mission, you know, like, it's like, they're not political.
Shit in American politics, like, so, I'm here.
But in terms of, like, the local food, I can't tell you, like, how the falafel was or, like, you know, we weren't allowed to do that, you know.
Wow.
But I did get to see something which, you know, and to this day always makes me a little emotional. It's like, I saw them back in the day where, like, the girls were allowed to go to school, and that no longer is the case. So that's very sad. Nobody really talks about that. Yeah, when the girls were allowed to go to school, and they would show the troops, you know, like, kind of escorting them to school every day.
Because we were there, or
weren't allowed to go.
So interesting.
And then, you know, now it's back to kind of Taliban style. So, you know, it's very sad. It's really sad.
Did you talk to them? You like to talk to people after shows. You talk to the troops and stuff about, like,
most of the USO is where you kind of, like, you go to the you know, the chow hall, and you sit down with them and you talk to them, and anybody who wants pictures, and you do all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of like they get to talk to somebody from home. But, you know, these are today's troops. It's not like Band of Brothers where, like, they're writing letters. It's like they go online and they're dealing, you know.
Exactly. You're not, like, gone anymore. You have your fucking internet time.
They game a lot. Like, they're doing the games and they're doing it. But it's still, like, a drag. I mean, like, it really is, like, you know, the monotony and then the terror of that kind of gig. So I always, you know, like, I never served. So I felt like this was the chance to give back. But there's other bases, like, all through Africa. There's bases that
Germany is like, we're not at war, but, like, you can still entertain the troops.
Oh yeah, no, Germany's always the midpoint when you do USO, because that's where all their flights go in and out of, usually. So you fly from the States to Germany, and then from there you will connect to, like, the Middle East, or if you're going to go, now that there's all these NATO countries like in Norway and Finland and stuff like that, I wonder if they'll do USO tours through there, because the troops will be going all over that
place. I guess it's just to entertain wherever they are.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's also, like, in Germany and Europe, there's also the families of the troops, you know, because they have, like, housing for them. Uh-huh. So they kind of, you know, like, when you ever meet somebody, it's like, I grew up in Germany, you know, my dad was in the army or something like that. That's those people. So they will come to the show just because they're like, this is American stuff and we're kind of disconnected, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that was, you know, Germany's beautiful, and, like, you know, pretty much, you know, it's
that
totally,
you can get off the base.
Yeah. Well, that, not only that, but it's just like, it's kind of better than here, you know. So, like, you're like walking around, keep your car unlocked, you know.
My brother lost his job, he got downsized, I think, in Germany.
Oh, really?
And they give you 80% of your salary for 2 years.
Wow.
And I was like, you going to find another job? He goes, maybe you didn't hear what I said.
That's great. Yeah, that is awesome.
Yeah.
But there's so many places I wish, like, you know, Turkey is another big road to Spain. They have a big naval base.
Did you ever say no to any of these places?
I couldn't do them. I couldn't do them, like, the last couple of years, only because of family issues. But yeah, I still, like, would like to be a part of it, you know. But I think it's really about the next generation of comics. There's so many big names now that they really would get off on.
But them. Weren't there? Yeah, there were. I've always wanted to go, and I couldn't get my fucking Jews to let me off for a week to go do it. There were a lot of no-name guys, though, too. Like, Simone always went.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, the majority of the people doing these USOs around the world are bands. You know, like, they're kind of garage bands or cover bands and, like, comics, magician, like, all that kind of entertainment, because they do pay you. But I never took the money. Like, you can donate it back into the USO. Yeah.
What?
So, well, it's service.
I thought it was just government money.
Yeah, it is, but it's still.
The fuck you're not
no, no,
it.
It's not from the government. It's actually it's a charity like funded kind of thing. So,
oh.
But you get the government transport and everything. Anyway, they do very well. They treat everybody really well, and the troops are there. Like they're there to like you know they I, honestly, it's like it, every experience was unique. But I love that you like go on the road. Like you're able to like you know for me, especially in the beginning of comedy, yeah. I couldn't take a day off, and now. Right. 37 years in, I can take a day off now, but it's still like after 2 or 3 days, if I'm not on stage after 2 days, I'm like, I better get back out there.
Would you, know? You find if you went to one of those places and you didn't have a show that night, would you go like, are there any shows around here I can get
on? I would. Cause I have nothing else to do.
Right.
You know, I really like, that's what I do.
Yeah.
And it was really like, I used to ask that with Tom a lot too. I'm like, so where do you work out? What do you do? And he's like, there's like a, they do this weird show every other Thursday. And I'm like, oh man, like, I don't know. Like I would need like more stage time, but I think by now, especially in Amsterdam, you've been there.
Amsterdam's got a good scene. Yeah, I was like just there. They've got a good scene.
Well, then you should thank Tom for that. Cause he was probably one of the founders of that scene. You know?
Amsterdam might have the best comedy scene in Europe.
Yeah, take me through it because I've only done England, Ireland, and I guess Germany with the USO. And Amsterdam's
a great scene. Like the local shows, like the non-headliner shows are packed.
Really?
Yeah, and they all speak English there.
But when I was there, they would just applaud. They didn't laugh.
They're learning.
Okay.
I had to scold my audience in Sweden.
Right.
After every joke, they'd applause. And then like 20 minutes in, I was like, guys, what are you doing?
Wow.
And I was like, don't applaud, like laugh or don't laugh. And then the next joke, literally the next joke, they started and they all stopped and was like, guys, you're overthinking it.
Yeah.
If it moves you to laugh.
I just think it's not their, they see you as Copenhagen's a performer really and that's what they do with a performer. What about, you know, Louis Katz, another really funny guy,
great
especially on
too.
YouTube. We work a lot of shows. He's been to Eastern Europe more than I can, you know, like.
He's been to Turkey a bunch too. He's been to Brazil a lot too. I think he speaks Portuguese.
Yeah, he speaks Portuguese.
Jesus.
But like, I know he's done like a lot of these East European countries, so.
Wait, hold on.
I think I'm one of the best. Can I say I think I'm one of the best guests you've ever had on the show?
let's talk about the special real quick. Talk about it, but what is it's on Netflix right now? What's it called?
Hot Cross Buns. And for those of you, my fan base, which I don't know, you've never really worked with me on the road, but I have a really good crowd, and like I say it on every show because they deserve the props. They're good. They get the jokes. They don't really have any kind of like.
When he says they deserve the props, don't misunderstand what he's saying.
No.
Proppers is what he means.
Yeah, like they deserve all the attention they can get because they're really good, not just for me, but for all the guys that bring out.
Yeah.
All the, they have multiple people that they follow. It's not like just one, like, you know, I just like this person. They know a lot about comedy and they still pick to come see me. So I appreciate it.
I would say you might want to cover your ears for this. Because I know how you get, but like Dave is probably the best comic in New York, which means the world. So like, if you guys ever want to go see a special, this is the one to see. Hot Cross Buns on Netflix right now.
I like how you made me regional. I like that. I'm a New York guy.
I say it, but then it's like, this is the best. It's like saying you're a good jazz musician in New York.
Yeah, but how am I compared to the best guy in Kyrgyzstan?
Do you ever meet comics from these like nothing town places?
Like that was another like in comedy, like, you know, you do it a long time and you realize things are like, even though it's not a real job and it's not, but you realize just like the impact like that it has around the world and just how there were guys starting to come in. It used to be England, right? You remember, this like Jimmy Carr, I know him really well. And like, you know, these English people. And then it was like, you know, the Irish guys, of course, you know, now it's everywhere. It's people from everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
They all do because of the internet, they all see American comics, especially with translate on the fucking YouTube.
Yeah.
So they're just in.
And that's another thing as a guy who's a very, you know, I'm not really a digital guy, like the impact it has on them. And then when they come here, you know, it's pretty amazing. I mean, talk about like, there's guys who have like legitimate careers in other countries. There's at least two or three of them that like, I'm really big in Brazil or I'm really big in France.
Yeah.
And they kind of give it up to come to New York to be like a regular like us, like showcase comic. You know, I'm making $50, which I guess in their country, they could buy a house or something.
Well, like Rafi Bastos, where I'm like, dude, you just came here for $40.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Aren't you a star there?
Yeah, so it's like, you know, they kind of like are really sacrificing a lot to come to the New York comedy
scene. But this is the proving grounds.
I guess so.
This is like, if you want to be that, be that.
And the crowds also are more international too.
Here.
You know, a lot of people get off a plane, they go to the Comedy Cellar, you know, they see them there with their rolling bag. So, I personally haven't done enough overseas comedy to kind of judge it, but I would say that like, you know, guys tour internationally. I don't think it'll ever be as big as music. You know, like, I think music is international, but comedy seems to be kind of edging its way up.
You can get out there. It's a lot less money.
Yeah.
I do it because it's fun, but it's a lot less money. You're better off going to Kansas City.
Do you think that you had wished, like, when do you think, like, you've always been a traveler, though, right?
Nah, probably 10, 12 years ago, I really got going.
Yeah, 15, and 80. I remember when you told me you were going to Ecuador, and I called you a coward for running from the pandemic. But I was like, that is really
There's
cool.
There's nothing
like,
going on here.
I know, but I was like, that's really cool, because I wouldn't do that. You know, yeah. Like, I just wouldn't do it. Like, it would be like, yeah, it could have been any country, and I would be like, I just can't be away.
I was
away
looking
that
down
long.
The barrel of what I saw Soder do once at the airport to go to Phoenix. Like, turn around, the shows are all canceled because of the COVID. I'm like, I don't want to do that for fucking who knows how long.
Right.
Let me wait this out somewhere.
Well, you know, Sarajevo, I heard, was like the place
for
in
what?
Serbia. Like, during the pandemic, it's like these world party cities, you know about them, like in Lebanon, like Beirut.
Beirut used to be like the city.
Yeah, like France and all that kind of stuff. And also Serbia, Sarajevo. There's a couple of these like world party, you know, cities that like, I was like, yeah, you should just go to Serbia, something like that.
Yeah, have fun. It was a blast. Were there ever fights and shit on these army bases?
No, you know what? A lot of them, they're not allowed to do any kind of drinking or anything like that. But in the ones where there was drinking, you know, it was just a lot of talking mostly. Just like, you know, their disconnect, because a lot of them are deployed, you know, for so long. Like, you know, it's almost like, do you watch this show Seinfeld? You know, it's like, yeah, 20 years ago. It's like, sorry, buddy.
we just got it.
You know, but now I think with satellites and all that kind of stuff, they're kind of up on it, on everything. But it's also, you get to meet like those kids that like, you know, when they bring their whole family and you're like, why is their whole family here? It's like, they just have nothing American to see, you know, like they want to see somebody from the America, you know?
Oh, you mean here? You mean at the shows?
At the shows. Yeah. Oh, they would bring like a family. And you're like, I'm not a family act. I don't know what these people are doing here.
It must be so fucking boring to be in like on a army base for 2 years.
No, I think it depends where you are, but it's also like, if you're in Germany, dude, that's pretty fun, man. Yeah. You know?
And then if you're like, you have a week off, you're like, I'm going to Frankfurt.
Yeah. Well, that's how they used to sell the military, which is like, you know, can you imagine? And then you can see all of Europe.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you've also toured some of the, as a member of the tribe, you've been through Poland and Russia. Have you been in any of those places?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
Avi never let me do any of the fucking Israel gigs.
Really?
Because he was like, you're too dirty. But you did them.
No, I never did. I've never been there. Okay. And I also like, as a heavy smoker,
well, you got
a lot
revenge.
Of this travel is crazy hard on us, you know, because it's like 22 hours in a tube.
Dude, I was in Ljubljana, Slovenia.
Yeah.
They have, in their bars, they have smoking rooms.
How cool is that?
It was very cool.
But, you know, that was the thing about Brazil. Like, we did it as a joke, but it's true. Like, you could still smoke everywhere. I doubt you could now. Like, Ireland, when Ireland went down, like, we were there, I think, just as they were trying to get smoking out of the bars. And, like, smelling, it was like in New York where you smell a bar without the smoke in it. Yeah. And you're like, you really want this?
It's
just piss and fill and throw up. And like, and I was like, I can't believe, and these bars are hundreds of years old.
Yeah.
And I was like, why would you guys ever quit that? But they were trying to be all healthy, you know?
I was talking to someone about the cellar, and they were like, she was like, oh, I've been there. I'm like, it seems like I should be smoking there. She was like, yeah, it really does.
Oh, it used to be so smoky.
Like,
in
it
there.
Seems like you would put up with it for one night. That's your clothes smelling like shit for one night. Because it would go in here.
Well, I think that when New York went non-smoking, because I remember I was like, this is never going to work. There's no, but like everyone adjusts to it immediately. They still go to these bars. And now like, you know, the sheds that they have and everything, like the sound is so filthy. It's like almost like going into a bar now is like going to a hospital. Like that's like, you know, the streets are just filth and like going inside is like, you know, a little better, whatever. But now let's do what my friends always talk about. Like, you know, we all have rich friends, right?
Yeah.
So they're always going on safaris. Have you been on a safari?
No. Monroe
See,
went on
I think
on
that's
one.
Super privileged,
Monroe
by the
went
way.
On for comedy.
He did?
Yeah, he was in Nairobi for comedy or Kenya. And the guys running the gig was like, do you want to do a safari with your wife? And they were like, sure, okay. And it was all these like 65-year-old well-to-dos. And then they kept looking at Monroe like a young black. And it was like, what do you do for a living? He's like, yeah, I'm just a comic, like, if you've got anything I know? And he was like, no. And they were like, waited for like another day. Like, how are you affording this?
Oh, yeah. Like,
this
cost
us
credit.
A whole year's like retirement. He goes, it's a free trip for me.
Well, yeah, that's another thing. Like, I've never felt that need to go on a safari. But I've had friends that have done it. And you know what they do? They show you the pictures. Like,
yeah.
Look at that. I'm like, yeah, that's an elephant, right? And what's this? oh, look, it's Tiger. But then they have to explain how close they were to it. Yeah. Like, it was, I mean, like, this thing was like right there. And I'm like, okay, so yeah, you were really close. It and then what else? You know, I mean, that would suck if you had to go all the way to Africa and now you're looking at them through glasses. I mean, I could do, you know, turn on my TV. But I guess that's another part of me. It's like, yeah, I'm not that into that, you know?
Yeah, you're just really not into it at all.
I think I'm dead inside, and I think it's sad.
I think you might be.
I mean, I used to camp all the time. I was in the Scouts, and I know you guys do all this kind of like outdoor, like you do skiing and camping. And,
yeah.
Isn't that what you do?
What happened?
I just got over it. I just like, well, it was, bad breakup I always in 10th loved packing. Grade. I love packing for camping. Like when I was in the Scouts, it was like, okay, I'm going to need this. And, you know, but then when we get out there, I was like, okay, it's raining. You know, we're cooking bacon again. You know, we're high. Like we get high and everything. Better, you know, it's like, okay, this is cool. Yeah. And now we have to get back, you know. And then we, you know, my mom would take all that clothes off. Don't bring it in the house. You know, whatever. So, yeah, I'm not a fun date.
You got any tips for travel?
I do, yeah. Pack light.
Boom, that's a good one.
Pack light.
That's a lot of people have that one.
Here's also
build up, not down.
Here's another thing when I whenever I go to a road gig, yeah. I always like have to buy like my, you know, even if I'm there for only 3 days or a week, whatever, you know, foot spray. You can also use it on your mattress to look for bed bugs. So you can spray everything, foot spray. You know, like
that you helps
spray
you bring out shoes. Bed bugs.
Well, it whatchamacallit? It should. I mean, like it basically, you know, kind of force them to surface. I think, you know,
Did you make that up or did someone tell you that?
Well, I think I've done that. So that's what I do. It makes me feel better. Okay. So I'm not going to say that.
Let's see if it works.
So that's a gray area one. And then, what's the other thing? Put everything, if it's got a safe, it's not safe, but use the safe, you know, like a room where like the safe doesn't work.
Yeah.
Have you ever had one of those?
Yeah. So and you're like, wait, is this a problem? And you're like, nah.
Oh, before you unpack, make sure the air conditioning and the shower works because you might have to change rooms.
Oh, yeah, it does
that's
suck.
That's a good tip. It does suck
because you're like, have you used the room? And you want to be like, no, it's in the same condition.
No, but you've already laid out all your things and whatnot. Yeah. So I would say that those are pretty good ones. And there's no late night food anywhere. So get a sandwich during the day and put it in your little refrigerator.
Do you go? Oh, that's a good one. So when you go to these places, the USO shit or whatever, you're on an army base, you are a late night guy. Well, what the fuck do you do after 11?
Well, I know a lot of guys who, like, the USO was awesome because they were, like, basically guys living in their car. So they would go on these extended tours with the USO because they fed them, they paid them, and they gave them a place to stay. So they basically were, like, kind of like couch surfing
that's
with
like
the military.
Wow,
so
cool.
I was going to say, after the show, because I usually only eat, like, one meal a day, and I can't eat before I go on. But, like, when I work with Louis, this guy's a foodie. He loves food. Yeah. But I have to tell you, like, you know, I've never seen it so bad in terms of late night food. Like, there's a couple of towns that do it great. Like, it was in Vegas where you can still get some decent, really good late night food.
New York.
But, and by the way, if you go to Vegas, there is a awesome late night Chinese place, Ping Pong Pang. I wish I was making it. Ian Fidance,
like
another funny
it up.
Guy.
Sounds
he
like
says,
you're making it up.
There's a great late night Chinese food, and it was awesome, man. It was like 2 in the morning.
So
we're
sounds
there.
Like a joke.
I know, right?
There's no way that's not.
I was like, did Don Rickles name this place Ping Pong Pong? But it was great. So anyway, I would say that the late night food thing is really kind of the saddest of like.
So what do you do?
Postman.
What do you do when you're in Uzbekistan or wherever the fuck you went?
Those kind of places, you're on military time. They have like meals during the day because they have multiple shifts of guys. So they'll like walk you through a cafeteria and they have like sandwiches. You can just grab one of those. But like,
do
you know,
pay for shit or do you just get?
No. It's you're on, you know, like it's on under the you know, it's the base. The base. It's the military. It's part of the experience. You know.
So you don't have to like you don't have like
yeah. The troops aren't going out of pocket. That's part of them being in the military. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I figure it's like dining hall where you get a certain amount of food to use
right.
for the month.
No. It's nothing like that. It's you could go in there and like, but it's not open all the time. It's not like on an aircraft carrier. They have like shifts of guys that go in to eat
because
there's some
guys
getting off
work at midnight.
No, they have like multiple shifts, like three shifts a night, three shifts a day. You know, whatever that is, eight on, 16 off. So. You know, it's cool because it's military food, so it's like big. It's like, you know, you want eggs and waffles and all that kind of stuff. So
I heard there was like, they used to have in D.C., I worked at Arlington National Cemetery, and there was these guys who worked Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, Marines, but it was like the cushiest job.
No, they're the old guard, the guys who guard the thing. Yeah.
All they do is do push-ups and play poker all day. And then it was like, my shift, see you guys.
I thought they have to be a certain height to be
maybe, but they're just
guys.
Bored waiting for their shift. It's so like, they're just like, let's fuck off.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's their downtime, but still, like, talk about, like, a hard gig. First of all, people are terrible. They don't give the respect when they go see the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Yeah. And then these guys have to stand like that in the sun or in the cold.
Or in the rain.
You know, like, yeah. They have to be there. And, like, it's like those palace guards where people try and screw with them.
Yeah.
You know, it's really, I think it's really inappropriate to do that. But when I would do the in D.C., where, like, that's, you know, like, a lot of military stuff going on there. We went to the Pentagon one time. We also went to, the medical stuff there. Cause that's like, you know,
not John Hopkins.
No, it's the, Walter Reed.
Walter Reed. Yeah.
And like, that is like, you know, from Civil War times, you know?
Damn.
And, just seeing really the guys coming out of the rehab, we visit a lot of hospitals. It's very sad. And like, you know, that's part of it as well, where you're supposed to go in and like, now, some of the troops, I remember going in one time and the guy had no idea who I was, and he was in rehabilitation. And, you know, like, you're just trying to be like, you know, you really don't know what to do, but you're like, how's it going? And the guy goes, how's it going? I was shot. And I'm like, whoa, I get it.
It's just something to say, bro. It's just something to say. I get it.
You know, it's like, I'm not going to be able to patch Adam me out of this one. Then I immediately go and like, yeah, but it's a cool score, I bet. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. They're like, you know, can you leave?
Remember that episode of Seinfeld where he's like bombing in front of the cancer kids? And he's like, I'm coming back tomorrow hard. He's like, has some prepared material. He goes, I'm not going to bomb again.
There is some of that. It's like, is this appropriate? Like, you sure we should be doing this?
Do you ever do those shows for like two people?
Well, I remember doing a show for like 20 people, and it was like these guys did not want us in there. They were ordered to watch us, and they were all big Navy guys that were like, they worked the base in Qatar. And these guys, I felt so bad for them because the CO guy was like, you will go in and you will listen to these people. They came here to do some kind of show. And I was like, dude, we don't have to do the show. And they looked so angry, like we took up their free time.
Could have been doing sit-ups.
It's like, and then afterwards, you will shake hands with these people.
Were like, they all proper? Or were they like laid back dudes?
Did they have everyone was super cool. And you get to see like, you know, like I got tons of jokes out of it. Like, yeah. I remember one time there was a, you know, one of the dogs, you know, like the security dog.
Persian.
And, he was in, okay, and they're like, he's not allowed to leave the base right now. He's he did something wrong. I go, what did he do? He goes, he mounted a goat. And I go, oh, that's like an incident, like an international incident. And he's like, he's the badass of the dogs. So like, so he can't come out of the wire right now. We're kind of like keeping him in here. And, you know, it was just like, you know how they always say like war brides. It would be cool. Like he brings her home and at the airport, you know,
the dog,
like,
dogs.
I love you. So that was fun.
And Simone said he did one where it was, where he was entertaining them all. But then there was like a couple had to be on duty, like watching the border. Yeah. So he goes, since they couldn't be there, they're like the next day, they're like, can you entertain those two people?
Oh yeah. We had the thing where it's like, there's some guys who weren't at the show, they were on the guard, they were on the wire. So would you mind going out there and looking? And then you realize how terrifying their job is. Cause you're in the middle of the night, you know, trying to make as much noise as possible. So they don't shoot you. So you're like, you know, the CEO guy, he brings you up to them. And it's like, yeah, how's it going? What's going on? And you're looking at total darkness and you're like, holy shit, this is terrifying, you know? And it smells in there. They pissing in there because they can't leave.
Where?
In the guard tower. Like a slit trench, you know, with like sandbags around it. And like, you're like realizing how you are a target right now, because if somebody was going to blow something up, it would be that. You
know,
like,
the way in.
Yeah. So, damn. But that was, yeah. I mean, I can't say enough good about what they, you know, the experience. It was really, I was very lucky to be a part of it. So
who got you into it? How'd you do it?
I just always wanted to do it. Like I really, you know,
told your agent, like ask,
or
you asked
somebody? I for like a couple of Christmases in a row, like I went to them, and then, you know, there's a couple of charities like that I also were part of, but you know, this isn't about me. I'm not running for Congress or anything like that. Yeah. I was just one guy of multiple people that do it. You know, actually, you know, like all these like cheerleaders, like the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders and stuff like that. They deserve medals because they are out there all the time. Like basically when they're not doing the games, you know, these people are not getting paid for the games, and they're also not getting paid for this, but they do it as like patriots that they go out, like they send out the squad to different places. I'm not even sure if they do that anymore. It's probably inappropriate to have cheerleaders on a base, but
all the women
I was always like, wow, this is like, you know, pretty amazing how they have to fly. They have to do their makeup. They have to get in the dumb costume. I mean, like, you
is
know,
that
it's a lot more
now. Where all the cheerleaders are like doing like the flashy dance, and then they just get into fucking in Vietnam. They're like, God, rush them. Like they wanted it so bad.
I think you have a lot of misinformation here.
Could they get hookers? Could they fuck?
I don't know. I do know that like, you know, in different places, like they of course go out to strip clubs and stuff like that. Like I've never been to the Philippines, but like Subic Bay during Vietnam was like legendary as like strip clubs and whorehouses and all that kind of stuff. But I would say that the majority of these bases, like in especially Europe, the guys probably don't have enough money to really enjoy it. But when we were in Germany, we saw the guys, all the guys who, of course, are guys from the United States. A lot of these guys are coming out of like Chicago, you know, Detroit, all these different places. And now they got like a hot German girlfriend. And they like the American troops. They like them there. You know, they probably love that they're there now because of the way things are going in the world. But it's just like, you know, these guys, it must blow their mind. You know, like these guys, like, it's like, you know, back in my, in the hood,
not even a hood. What if you're in some small nothing town?
And now same thing with Korea. Like, I never did those bases. I wanted to do that, South Korea, you know, and I was kind of hoping after I did Hawaii that we'd be able to go there. We couldn't figure it out. But you, dude, I mean, like, how many weeks a year are you on the road?
24 weeks of stand-up and then more for other shit.
Wow. Amazing. See, I feel like
I try to limit it because I'll go nuts. Got to have some home time.
I honestly, at this age, I'm like, you know, I can usually do about three weekends. It's not like three full tilt weeks, but three on and then a week back. But now, like, I don't feel like I'm really missing anything here. There's a lot of, you know, stuff you got to do here. But then the road itself was like, it's so difficult to get anywhere. Like, you know, you're talking about international travel. Like, that would be my biggest fear is that I'm over, like, even Canada. Like, I haven't been there in a while. Just, like, do the show, and then I'm stuck there, and I have to get home for, like, family or something like that, you know?
I'm going to Halifax for the first time.
Really?
Yeah, in April.
Stop bragging. Well, I hope you love scrimshaw, because you're going to get plenty of it. I hope you love caricatures of you as a...
It's vicious. What else did you notice about these bays? Tell me another observation about these bays.
I think I've told you more than you need to know.
Some people would like, but they'd be like, oh, I would never would have expected that.
Well, you go to the PX. That's the fun.
Okay. What is
you
that?
You know, it's, the PX is where they buy their stuff.
Like toothpaste?
Yeah, everything. Like some of them are super elaborate. Some of them are just like, you know, they got a couple of things. Like, you know, like when you go into a hotel, they have like that stuff. It's like super expensive. Well, now this is way cheaper, you know? But I remember when I was there, like, you know, you talked about like Vietnam, like Playboys and stuff like that. They have nothing like that. They had Maxim magazines. You know, that was like their kind of beat off thing.
Oh, Jesus.
They probably don't have any of that. But these guys can web it up anyhow. They can get on the web. But I was like, you know, they have really cool stuff like you know, K-bar knives and like all these kind of, like if you're into that kind of stuff, like gear.
You're like iron brass knuckles?
Yeah, I need new knee pads because I'm going in on a, I'm busting down doors and stuff. So they have like all that kind of stuff that I, you know, like it's always cool to look at. But yeah, you could buy, you know, like anything there, like a vacuum, like for something like they, like it's their,
that's so weird. It's
their
like store, regular, you know? Living. Yeah. And at the Pentagon, it was always like way cheaper. Like toothpaste would cost like 40 cents.
Oh, wait, I have the ultimate trip for you. Okay. I watched this on, I watch a lot of documentaries, but you know, actually there is a comic, Dr. Ken, Dr.
Ken Jung?
The out of Denver.
Do Dr. You know, Zhivago?
No, out of, do you know a guy, the veterinarian out of. Oh, he's a great guy. He's a great guy.
Is he the one that does Wipeout?
No, he actually does documentaries about like, you know, like he went to Antarctica or Arctica. Where was the one with penguins? That's north, right? No, south.
Maybe.
South. Okay. Anyway, they have a base down there where the people are there for like 8 months.
Yeah.
Okay. So that would be a cool like hit. They also have like, you know, you're there like for the winter season. Uh-huh. Like this really hard to get people out. If there's a problem, they're going to have to deal with it there. So that'll be a place for you to go, man. 8 months in the dark doing your act to the same five
people.
Geologists.
Heard it. Yeah. And more geology jokes.
The ultimate special.
Have you ever burrow for your poop?
But that would be great for like, where do you sell that special? Like, you know, Netflix.
Definitely biggest special in Antarctica.
Geo, Nat Geo.
All right, Dave. Well, I
was hoping to leave on a laugh.
I laughed. It wasn't bad.
Do you ever just throw a dart at the map and go, hey, and then just masturbate? What do you do?
I want to do, when I do Patreon, I want to do one of them where I go like, I'm going to throw a dart at the board and then just go.
Really? Well, go to Iceland. I've heard that's great too.
It rules.
It is?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Rules.
And that's not a bad flight, right?
No, it's cheap. And also you can get free layover. If you're going to like Denmark, you have to go kind of go open and down. So if you have a layover in Iceland, WOW Airlines and Iceland Air goes, you can make your layover go 5 days for free.
Really? My brother's a pilot, so he's hit all these kind of cool places, you know?
What does he fly to? Epstein Island?
No, he's a real pilot.
That's but a real pilot?
Like, he's a what we call it.
You imagine going to the military training as a pilot to fly for fucking Jeffrey Epstein?
Well, I guess...
he's trained.
I guess, you know, the whole idea is like... if the flight is, if it, like, because that can't, I'm looking at it now, that can't be more than 4 hours, right? Five hours.
You go
hours.
Up like this, and the world comes under you, and then you go back down. So it like,
wow.
I don't know why you don't just go straight across, but that's how you're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the from New York. I think it's like under that. Five. Or
is
maybe
it,
four.
This isn't a love letter to flat earthing, is it? There's my laugh. All right.
The special is called Hot Cross Buns on Netflix. Dave.
Thank you. You don't have like some kind of like safe travels and blah, 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 blah. You
know, no, I wanted to have a good sign off. I'm looking for like sign offs.
Yeah.
You got anything? Got any ideas? Like, you don't want to sign R or we didn't go to fucking Japan.
Yeah. No, you can't. That'll start something. But I can't think of anything. Buckle up. Maybe
that's the beginning. What did the USO say? Didn't they used to go blow chocks when you were out of there?
They go, Sierra Bravo. Thank you for your service. So anyway, thanks for having me, buddy.
You're welcome.
And I'm on the road all the time, so go check me out, davidtell.com. I hope to see you guys live at a show. And this guy, super funny. And, you know.
Your problem is honestly, you defer to everybody.
No, I really think that you're, I always love when you're on the same show with me down at in the New York clubs, because I'm like, okay, this guy, he's definitely going to be trying something, you know, it's worth watching. I want to see what he's up to.
It is fun when you go, how were they? And I'll be like, good or bad. Or sometimes I'm like, oh, they're good. I was bad. And you're like, okay, good to know.
Yeah, sometimes it is the comic. Yeah. And that's me.
I went in hard. I went in with like straight gang jokes to start. Probably not the best
you
idea.
You hit him with full guns, as they say. All right, buddy.
All right,
Dave.
Thank you, buddy.
Well, that's the episode, everybody. Don't forget to go watch Hot Cross Buns on Netflix right now. It's Dave Attell's hilarious new special, 40 minutes only. And stay for the end because it gets ridiculous. And also don't forget to go see me at the Capitol Turnaround in Washington, D.C. on April 26th. Or 27th, there's still tickets available. Halifax added a show, and all of Australia is on sale now, and Ontario, Toronto for April 6th, the second show is still on sale. And that's the episode, you guys. If you liked it, as always, leave a comment on YouTube, send it around. Let people know what you feel about this podcast. You can just subscribe to @UBTrippinPod on YouTube, UBTrippinPod on socials. So subscribe to the Instagram page and listen everywhere at UBTrippin'. Guys, that's it. Hope you had a good time. Where will life take you next? Oh, I know. Let's do a fun outro. Guys, no matter who you are or what you love in the world, don't ever stop tripping, everybody. You be tripping, I be tripping, we all be tripping. Until next week. Oh, next week we have Monroe Martin talking about Nairobi. It's going to be a great episode. He slept in the Sahara, woke up with the most beautiful sunsets in the world. You got to look at the YouTube for that one. For sure, subscribe and look at the YouTube for that one. Monroe Martin, next week. That was a great one. Oh, I mean, I want to go there so bad. I got to explore Africa. Anyway, where are you guys tripping to next? On You Be Tripping. See you next week.